So I ought to get a Bible out.
Amen, brother. Beginning was the word.
Can you see that?
Psalm 68:11, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it.
Okay, Zephaniah chapter 1. We got down to verse 18.
Recap that verse 17. That's pretty affirmative there.
Yeah. That's a whole lot.
I mean, that's not even open for discussion.
Right.
Not debatable, not going to take a poll on it or nothing.
Okay, Zephaniah chapter 2. Chapter 1, verse 18 is where we got to. 17 lead into it just fine. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. Sin's the problem.
That's right.
Sin causes all the problems.
Where are we at, Brother Mike?
Zephaniah 1, 17, 18. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung. We went over that in detail last week. Verse 18. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land.
Lordy, Lord.
Rough stuff, ain't it? That's the side of God that most Christians don't know anything about, much less unsaved people. Proverbs 11:4, look at it.
Yeah.
Proverbs 11:4, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. Money can't deliver you from God's wrath.
That's right.
Can't deliver anybody from God's wrath. Now, I'm sure that riches and money would be great.
I'd rather have Jesus.
It would be great.
Job testified to that, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Here's some quips or anecdotes. I wrote down three little anecdotes about money. One guy said he'd never been in a situation where having money made it worse. Pretty good. Money's all right, but you have to waste a lot of time making it. And by the time a person has money to burn, the fire has already gone out. That's usually the way it goes for a poor working man. That's the way it goes for a poor working man.
One upside to not having money, you're not likely to get robbed.
Right. That's right.
I don't know, you might.
No, they kill you instead.
Guy broke in a man's house one night. He woke up. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm looking for money." He said, "Let me get my clothes on. I'll help you look." Yeah. Money can't redeem anybody from hell. 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. And look what it describes as corruptible. You know, money and silver is, I guess in itself is okay, but it corrupts a lot of people. And according to this, it's corruptible. Corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. They say when the Titanic went down that men were offering $1,000 to anybody that let them have a seat on a life raft. And they said they didn't have any takers. No takers. Ezekiel 7:19 talks about God's jealousy. Ezekiel 7:19. Ezekiel 7:19. They shall cast their silver, more on silver and gold here, when it comes the last time, the last day and the judgment and wrath. They shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it is the stumbling block of their iniquity. Exodus 20, verse 5. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God.
Sure.
And that's a holy jealousy, too. That's the right kind of jealousy.
Right.
It talks about here in verse 18 that by the fire of his jealousy, fire purifies. Fire purifies. What's he going to burn that land over there for? What's he going to scorch the surface of the earth for? He's getting the land cleaned up for his holy city,
mm-hmm.
for his dwelling place,
right.
for his throne, for his temple, and for his government. He's going to burn this place and clean it up. He's going to have a surface burning that's going to be clean. When he's finished, it's going to be clean when he sets up his rule and reign. That's why he's going to burn the surface for, clean it up. He's going to get rid of the population. Look at there, it says, riddance of all them that dwell in the land. A speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. He's going to get rid of people who don't have any time for God. He's going to get rid of people who do not want anything to do with God. And you've got people like that all around you.
Oh, yeah.
All around you. Just think what it's like globally. I mean, think what it's like in your small world. You've seen it. No time for God. Don't want anything to do with God. He's going to get rid of the people who don't want to even be around God before he sets up his rule and his reign. And you know, think about this a minute. You know people, and I know people, have no time for God. They don't
That's
want
right.
anything to do with God. They
That's
don't
right.
want to hear anything about God or his son or his book. And one day God's going to say, hey, you didn't want nothing to do with
right.
me. Now you're going into eternity and you'll never have anything to do with me again. You'll never be bothered by me again. When he puts them in the lake of fire, he's done with them forever. That's what they're going to get. They don't want anything to do with God. That's exactly what they're going to get. An eternity without God and without hope.
That's right.
Is what they're going to get in eternity. Ezekiel 36:5. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy. There it is again. You know, the Bible is full of the fire of the jealousy of God. It's full of God's jealousy. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen and against all Idumea, which have appointed my land into their possession with the joy of all their heart, with despiteful minds to cast it out for prey. Now there's another problem. They were taking the land away from the Jews back in those days even in history. But look what they're doing now. Mm-hmm. You know what's going on over there now? They've made them give away all the land they won in the 6 day war? 7 day war?
6 day war.
6 day war. What, that's in 67? They made them give all that land back to Abraham.
They got possession of land in 1950, I believe. They became a nation in 1948.
Yeah. 48.
But they got possession of land in 1950.
The UN, the Palestinians, the Muslims, President Bush, the Catholics, Obama, all agreed that the land of Israel should be taken away from the Jew and given back to the Arabs. And that's what they done. You remember when Bush made them give away Gaza?
Perfect storm.
He called it the Land for Peace deal, what he called that thing. And that's what's going on now. And that's what that verse is talking about. Giving God's land away to people that God didn't give it to. That's what's going on. They take that land, the Arabs, they make it theirs. In the future, God's going to get rid of the God-haters. This was also applied historically to disobedient Jews in Zephaniah's day. Now, think about that a minute. He's doing that to his own people, a people that he called out, a people that said a peculiar people, a people that he wanted to be different from all the other nations. He done that to them in Zephaniah's day. He's doing it to his own chosen people right now.
Right.
If he's going to do that to his own chosen people, what's it going to be like for the rest of the world? What's it going to be like for America? If he do that to the Jews, what's it going to be like for Americans? I'll tell you what I hope. I hope it waits till after the rapture before it sets in.
Right.
Because we could be we could be part of the collateral damage. Just because you're saved on your way to heaven don't mean bad things ain't going to happen to you. And you know, a lot of time a nation is judged according to its leaders. Mm-hmm. Its leaders can bring trouble on a whole nation what the leaders do. Now, God did bless America because it started out with the book. That's how America started out. Just like Israel started out with the book.
Right.
So they had the oracles of God.
It's true. Hebrews chapter 2.
He blessed America because they started out with a book, and they started out treating Israel right.
Yeah.
But he's also going to judge the United States for departing from the book like Israel did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last week, me and Rick was talking about America's still probably the only nation on the globe that's doing anything for Christ right now. We're still sending out missionaries.
Right.
We're still
holding forth.
A few Bible-believing churches left in the country. And we're sending out Bible-believing missionaries, and they're winning people around the planet by the thousands. America still has that going for them.
Right.
But judgment's pending. It's on the way. I mean, America's gone too far. And it's just a matter of when it's going to happen.
It's true.
But still, the only reason we've got as good as we've got is because we're still putting out the book. Still putting out the book. Anytime you can put out the book, you're just prolonging wrath.
True.
That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing.
Good.
He'll judge America for departing from the book just like he'll judge Israel for departing from the book. Chapter 2. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together. O nation not desired. Nation. It's Israel now. Israel's a nation not desired. And if you know anything about what's going on right now around the globe and our past history, you know Israel's not desired. For the last 2,000 years, Israel's been put away by God. God put that country away because they turned from Him and His book. Hosea 2:2. And we went over that in detail. We went over this in detail when we went through the book of Hosea. Hosea 2:2. Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts. God divorced Israel. Israel was God's wife, and God divorced her. But He's going to marry her again. He's going to take her back at the restoration. In the last 2,000 years, God put her away. And He likens that spiritual adultery and fornication. He likens the spiritual to the physical. You notice that there? He likens it to the physical. I got a verse here. Isaiah 50, verse 1. Look at that. Isaiah 50, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, where is the veil of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? For which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And for your transgressions is your mother put away. Sin's the problem.
That verse too, Mike, a lot of people say God's a cruel God, but it's not. Israel chose their...
True.
And same thing with sinners today.
True.
I heard a preacher say one time, it'd be a cruel God. A cruel God's not giving them He's giving them what they want, what
true.
They ask for.
It'd
be a cruel God that made them go to heaven and worship Him for
right.
eternity.
Right.
Because that's not what they asked for.
True. You know, if you read your Bible very, very much, you're going to find out something in there. God will give people what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, He'll give darkness. Them what they want.
Right on right.
He says He'd give things to them according to the idols in their heart.
Right. Yeah.
He'd give them what they want. You know why there's churches this morning got a liar standing in the pulpit? Because that's what they want.
Give them the desire of their heart.
You know why there's you know, most people, they wouldn't have anybody that would teach or preach the truth. They don't want that stuff.
Right.
So God, what they give, He gives them a liar. Over there, we've looked at that over there in the book of
2 Timothy 4.
Ezekiel, he said, who'll go up and persuade Ahab to follow the reign of Gilead?
Yeah.
You know, who's going to persuade Ahab to go up and get killed? And this lying spirit comes out and says, I'll go and persuade him. He said, go.
2 Kings.
And be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. so that he'd go up to Ramoth Gilead and get killed. You know, I find that strange. All God had done was to drop dead, Ahab. And he would have dropped dead. But why'd he do that? I believe he done that to show us that you can get what you want if you ain't real careful. You can get what you want. If people want a liar, God will give them a liar.
Yeah.
If people want the truth, God will get them the truth. That's just the way it works. Matthew 21:43. Therefore say I unto you, talking about the Jews here. Here's another one of them things we were talking about. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. That's the way it works. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:14. They rejected the kingdom of God, so he gave it to somebody else. He gave it to the Gentiles. 1 Thessalonians 2. Find it here. First Thessalonians 2:14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, in the right place, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, for ye also have suffered like things for your, of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Talking about the Jews here. That's why they're in the mess they're in. Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. There's what happened to Israel. They killed their Messiah. The Jews right now, they are temporarily out of the will of God. Temporarily out of the will of God. And that's, you know, they've been out of the will of God for 2,000 years. But to the Lord, it's just a temporary... It's just a temporary thing. They're subject to the wrath of God, and nobody desires a Jew. Nobody on this planet desires a Jew, unless a certain individual or certain churches. Bible Believers Baptist Church, they support a Jewish missionary to Israel. He's a Hebrew Jew. He speaks a fluent Hebrew, and he's a missionary in Israel right now. And if you want some blessing from God, find you a Jew and support him. Love that Jew, and God love you. The Bible says, "I bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee." Now they're set aside right now in unbelief, temporarily out of the will of God. Now before Hitler put the Jew in extermination camps, he offered to let the Jews lead Germany and Europe if the other nations would take them in. All the nations of the world, every nation on this planet, turned down that offer, including the United States. They wouldn't take them. So Hitler wound up gassing, killing, exterminating 6 million of them. And if America would have took them in, that wouldn't have happened. But America turned them down, they wouldn't take them in. And America, that's going to cost America. Yeah. It's already cost, but it's going to cost more than that. All turned them down, including the USA. What's it say there? A nation not desired. Nobody wanted them. Nobody wanted them. Now, the gathering is a call to the nation to repent. They did it under Ezra and Nehemiah. They repented under Ezra and Nehemiah. Look at that. Ezra 10:7-8. There was a partial repentance and regathering in Ezra and Nehemiah. But it wasn't a done deal because some of the Jews stayed in Egypt. Ezra 10:7. And they made proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem unto all the children of the captivity that they should gather themselves together unto Jerusalem. And that whosoever would not come within 3 days, according to the counsel of the princes and the elders, all his substance should be forfeited, and himself separated from the congregation of those that had not been carried away. Now, some of them went back, but a lot of them didn't go back. They wouldn't go back into Israel. They stayed where they were in captivity. They stayed in Babylon, and they had it pretty good there. But God told them to go back. They didn't go back. Nehemiah 9, 1 and 2. Take a right. Now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloths and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. There was a partial regathering there. They gathered themselves, they went back to Jerusalem, but then later on they apostatized again and were scattered again. They were scattered but at the time Christ came. But they'll be gathered again at the end of the tribulation. This time it's forever. Next time they're regathered and reestablished, it's forever.
In
Zephaniah. They'll be scattered again after that. In the tribulation, the gathering takes place at the Feast of Tabernacles when the Lord comes back. At the end of the tribulation is when they'll be gathered up again at the Feast of Tabernacles. Look at Joel 1:14. We went through this in detail when we studied. Joel 1:14. Sanctify ye a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Look at chapter 2, 16. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. That's the second advent there. We're the bride. He's the bridegroom. When he comes out of his chamber, that's the second advent. We come back with him. Let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. That's on deck. That's coming up at the end of the tribulation. That's when that all takes place.
Hey, Brother Mike.
Yes.
Now here in Zephaniah chapter 3, it talks about God regathering them up. Mm-hmm. From 14 down to 20, talked about he'd undo all that had been done to them. He'd gather them together.
True. We'll go into detail on that when we get there and see what all that takes in. Now, he's giving the people a chance to get right with him. And at the end of tribulation, he'll give them a chance to get right with him, and they'll get right. The ones that are left will get right. Now, the Jews are going to know where to go for protection. Right before the second advent of Christ. The Antichrist is going to try to annihilate them, and he'll almost get it done. He'll about kill every Jew on the planet. Hitler was a type of that, but the Antichrist is going to even do a better and a bigger job than Hitler did. But they're going to go to a place for protection that God set aside for them. And if you've read your Bible much, you know that place is called Petra.
Right.
Petra, however you pronounce it. It's called Petra. It's called Rock City.
Mm-hmm.
I seen a special on the news. It wasn't the news. It was KET or something. They was talking about that Rock City. Anybody see that?
Yeah, I did.
That thing's a fortress. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's cut in solid rock. That thing is still there.
It's only one way getting in, I think.
Right.
Which portion are you talking about? The treasury room, or are you talking about the outside?
On what?
Of Petra.
Petra? Well, they had on that, they showed the treasury room, but there's no treasure in it now, but that's what they used. And then, like she said, there's only one way in it.
It's the width of a man, too.
It's a fortress. And they had water pipe, primitive way of piping in, and showed them how they had all that water in.
I spent 2013 and went to Petra.
Did you?
While I was there, yeah. There's actually, I don't know what you're talking about as far as one way in. There's a single directional way in from the outside of town, which is exceedingly hard to get down into. The roads are about, and they could crisscross back and forth. But on the back end of it, when you walk through, they do have the original piping system you're still talking about, too, along the grade of the walls. Mm-hmm. They had carved out little sluice patterns that allow it to flow down.
Yeah.
But the back end, the desert, is open to it.
It's
you can,
open.
You can come in from the desert. The Bedouins do anyway, and that's where they dwell most of the time.
Okay, now that place, that's where God's going to protect the Jew from the Antichrist in the tribulation. If they'll go to Petra, he'll protect them there. He'll feed them there, just like he did in the wilderness. They'll feed them with manna. So that place has got a bright future. It's going to house his people.
You know, all of those terrorists, they're destroying all of those idols, all those relics, you know, people that put a lot of regard on all those false idols and stuff. I've often wondered if God ain't just using them like a sword to destroy all those temple idols and stuff. You know, over there, I mean, they're destroying them right and left over in Egypt and over in the Middle East. They're destroying every single artifact.
You know, it showed you a lot of tourists going through that Petra deal. And I told the wife, I said, just think, right there is where he's going to protect the Jew from Antichrist and tribulation. I said, a lot of those people walking through there, they probably don't have a clue what's going to happen when in that place in the very near future. And some of them, I'm sure, did know what was going to happen in the future.
Yeah.
The Jews know where to go for protection, just like you know where to go for protection.
Right.
Jews knew where to gather to be taken care of by God. Just like you know where to gather to take care of God. You know where to go for protection. Go to Jesus Christ for salvation.
That's right.
You know where to gather on Sunday morning.
Right? Amen.
Sunday night. Wednesday night. You know
where to gather. That's right.
Forsake not the assembling yourself together, which is the manner. That's our manner.
Manner of song.
That's our manner. We're in here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's our manner. Some people don't have good manners. At the end of the tribulation, the people are going to be seeking to get right with God. And they're going to know what the people of destruction won't know.
That's right.
Now, the Jews are going to know what's coming. But the people, it says the people here are up there, they're set for destruction. And they're not going to know what's coming.
That's right.
They're not going to know what's going on.
Proverbs 29:1.
Just like people today, unsaved people who have no time for God, no time for the book, no time for a Bible-believing church, they don't know what's coming.
Suddenly be destroyed and that without remedy.
They don't have a clue what's coming. They think everything's going to be fine and dandy until they die and they hope they're going to go to heaven. That's the way it is. They don't know what's coming.
Verse 18, chapter 1, speedy riddance of them.
True, speedy riddance. Verse 2, maybe I'll get through 2. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. That's a continuance of chapter 1. That's semicolon. That's just a continuance of verse 1. The decree, that's a judicial decision. It's like God saying, before I do what I'm going to do. Before I do what I'm going to do. That's what like it's like God saying, Isaiah 10, 22 and 23. But though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return.
Mm-hmm.
A remnant. Small remnant. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. There's that decree there. For the Lord God of hosts shall make a consumption, even determined, in the midst of all the land. That's on deck. That's coming up soon.
Verse 24 there too. He'll smite with a rod, lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. Buddy, he made a pretty good show of himself there in Egypt. He said he raised Pharaoh just to make a name for himself.
Right.
But the fear of him went throughout the whole earth.
Wicked Pharaoh was God's servant.
Yep.
God's servant. The decree will be carried out on Jerusalem. It's going to be carried out on Israel. And it's going to be carried out on the whole earth. Now before this comes to pass, gather. Verse 1, gather. Where are they going to gather? Petra. Practically, that's what any sinner should do. They're heading for God's judgment. God's judgment. You know what God's judgment is, don't you? It's hell.
Mm-hmm.
Headed for God's judgment. Under King Josiah, God was going to wipe out Judah for their sins and Manasseh. He was going to wipe out the whole country of Judah. Josiah repented and led the nation in revival. God had mercy on him and postponed the judgment. Merciful God. Oh, I'm glad he's merciful. I'm glad he's long-suffering.
That's right.
This judgment was postponed. It was prophesied in 2 Kings 23, 24 through 27. Now, even wicked Ahab, one of the wickedest kings Ephraim ever had, wicked Ahab, found mercy from God when he humbled himself.
Yeah, put on sackcloth and ashes.
Man, that's something, ain't it? I mean, that guy, he was wicked, boy. He was wicked. Any unsaved sinner, no matter how wicked he is, can repent before he winds up in hell. Anyone.
God gave Jesus.
You know, some people think they're too wicked to be saved. No. No, that's not the case. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. All sin. Let's look at Ahab's confession real quick, and we have to quit right here. Isaiah 20. I can't read my right. Isaiah 21, I believe. No, 1 Kings 21.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I think it's 21, 22.
That's it.
Okay. And I will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam and the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols according to all things, as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass. Now look what he said about Ahab. And I'll tell every one of you something. You don't know anybody in this country as wicked as Ahab was.
Right.
The worst guy you know, or the worst woman you know, they're no worse than Jezebel was. And they're not as wicked as Ahab was.
That's right.
Look what happens here. And it came to pass when Ahab heard those words that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth on his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbled himself before me? And he has something. He points Elijah, says, look at there, look what Ahab's doing. He's repenting. Seest thou how Ahab humbled himself before me? Because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house.
That's mercy.
He repented and got right. Wicked Ahab, repenting got right. Okay, we better stop right here. Scotty, I'll pick it up next week.
Good job, brother. That's where these missionaries.